The Guardian.
You're more than your day job. You know that. If you're interested in starting your own side gig, then check out the Side Hustle series from Guardian Labs and theguardian.com/sidehustle. Helpful videos, articles, and a podcast, all brought to you by Squarespace. When you're ready to build your website for your side hustle, head to squarespace.com. Their sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. You build your website with these intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of The Dailies, the podcast from The Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee and it's Thursday, January 28th. Joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Henry Barnes. Henry, think back to 1995 for 5 seconds.
I'm there.
And was there anything you did that you'd rather keep buried forever?
You want me to tell people what I want to keep buried forever?
Give us a clue, maybe.
Well, when I was 12 in 1995, I spent a lot of time in my bedroom drawing cartoons. And I didn't really have many friends. So that's vaguely embarrassing. Oh. But I'm kind of proud of myself as well, actually, for being creative.
Because now you're a cartoonist.
It's now I'm a cartoonist. All
it's
that
really
time paid off.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ben.
So first to... The 1995 reference does make sense. Give me 2 seconds. First to a film starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire that you've most definitely never seen and quite possibly never will. In 95, the two up-and-coming actors helped a friend by funding and starring in a black-and-white, mostly improvised film called Don's Plum. The minimalist drama centres on a gang of young folk talking at a diner. As DiCaprio and Maguire became genuinely, actually, properly famous, they decided the film could prove to be a bit embarrassing, and so blocked it from being released. According to a lawsuit, the reason they were worried was that some of the improvised comments would undermine their public personas. The case resulted in the filmmakers agreeing to never release the film in the US or Canada. It went on to be shown at the Berlin Film Festival in 2001 and was released in parts of Europe. The reason it's now back in the news is that the film's producer, Don Wheatley, decided to make it available to stream for free, but rather swiftly it was removed, with, I imagine, some pressure from some very well-paid lawyers. Henry, do you think at this stage a film such as this would actually do any damage to DiCaprio's career, or do you think that it's a sensitive time given that he's currently campaigning for an Oscar?
It might do some damage to his career because he's one of the people in Hollywood whose image is incredibly well-honed, right? So you only get this real image now of Leo as environmentalist, brilliant actor, man, not a man of the people. He's just very much there for awards season and that's it. And I've heard he's got quite a big entourage around him and he can be quite fussy about how he's portrayed. As our own Simon Hatterstone found out when he was kicked out of an interview with him, we haven't had an interview with Leo since. So he is a bit touchy. As to whether he should ban the film, I think that's just unrealistic, isn't it? I mean, everybody has their youthful indiscretions and their mistakes. Some of us are sat in our bedrooms drawing cartoons. Some of us are making movies where we make misogynistic comments that everybody can hear for the rest of time because they become world famous. But it's all part of growing up, isn't it? And particularly with actors, you're always going to have films out there that embarrass you.
I almost feel like if it had been released at the time and then look back on a few years ago, it wouldn't be as bad. Whereas now we're in a particularly... touchy period, mm-hmm. Let's say, because of Twitter, that yeah. Things do get brought up more and things do get focused on more. And DiCaprio, like you were saying, his image is quite interesting because he does have this very sort of environmentally conscious movie star image that he portrays, but every now and then you'll see him at a party with the cast of Jersey Shore. So there's kind of like two DiCaprios, I think, and that one's kind of buried a little bit.
Yeah, I wonder if it would help him to humanise himself a little bit and just to reveal some of the more party side of DiCaprio. I don't know, we could speculate forever, couldn't we? But I think it is interesting when you look at artists and you look at their history, how the humanity of them as people has to come through the art as well. Somebody in a different field, like the Beastie Boys, for example, had a long period where they were basically doing misogynistic jokes that didn't go across very well with anybody, and they then had to confront that later in their career and made art about that as well. So, you know, I mean, it's a little bit right on, a little bit politically correct, but at the same time, you do get a sense of them as people coming through their art, and I think a lot of celebrities now realize that because of the internet. Somebody like Justin Bieber knows that his faults are there for the world to see as well as his attributes. And Leo is probably of a different generation who's finding that hard to grasp.
But with DiCaprio too, I mean, he's arguably the biggest movie star in the world right now. The Revenant has, it's not the most obviously mainstream film, but it's been doing really well, I think, purely because of his image. And so you kind of feel like he's he knows what's worked, what's working now for him, and doesn't want to, or doesn't want to change that.
No, probably doesn't. And then, you know, you get the examples of him being interviewed on Breakfast Radio here, and it just going horribly, not horribly wrong, but people just seeming like asking him questions like he's going to be one of those poppy, quick interviewees that are always going to be friendly and really easy to talk to. And he's not that guy. You know, he's just grown up in a system where he's been sheltered and protected for so long that he's going to find it very difficult to be the, hey, yeah, I'll tell you what my cat's called and what my bed, my breakfast routine is. He's just not that person. And I respect him for that for a little bit. At the same time, it just makes him feel a bit like a kind of acting automaton rather than a person.
Henry, it's still awards season.
Yes. Oh. No, yes. No, yes, it's fun, yes, it's exciting,
happy, happy
yes.
Awards.
Yes.
Just when you thought there were no more nominations to be announced, the Independent Spirit Awards have unveiled which indies they are choosing to honour this year. And out in the lead is Carol with 6 nominations, then Beasts of No Nation, which was snubbed at the Oscars, landing 5, and Spotlight with 4. Interestingly, over the past few years, the winners of the Spirit Awards have ended up aligning with the eventual Oscar winners. Last year saw Birdman, Julianne Moore, Patricia Arquette and J.K. Simmons win, while the year before had the main acting categories and Best Picture all won by the same lot as the Oscars. While this year's nominees have a small amount of crossover, what's interesting is that they deviate massively from the Oscars and the year's potential winners. The categories of Best Actor, Best Supporting Actor and Best Supporting Actress have no crossover whatsoever with the Oscars. There's also more diversity with both trans and actors of colour represented. Now, Henry, it's no surprise that there will be more diversity in independent films, but do you think that these nominations show that the Academy have sort of ignored indies this year?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, it does kind of look like an ideal list for people who are very upset with the Oscars, and probably rightfully so. I can't think of many. Are there any indie films in the Best Picture race? Maybe Spotlight is open film
Room,
isn't it?
I mean, Room 2. And Boom, Carol didn't get a nomination. But you see big films this year, like The Martian and Mad Max, sort of making it quite poppy.
It's quite an action-y year, isn't it? And I can understand why there'd be a significant sect in Hollywood who wouldn't be happy with that list and would choose something else. And the Independent Spirit Awards have brought something else. And they're really refreshing, actually. I think there's a good mix in there. It's interesting, though, in categories like the documentary category as well, there's not much crossover there. I think it's only The Look of Silence, nominated for both of them, which really suggests to me that people have rejected wholesale the idea of what is a good film in terms of the mainstream, and the two are very different this year. I'm not sure it's a long-term trend. I don't think it's people rejecting the way that Hollywood's going, but I mean, it is encouraging, and considering the Oscar so white debate, that there is a sector of Hollywood that is thinking about that. Obviously,
I think it's interesting looking at some of the films which were featured in the Independent Spirit Awards race, like It Follows, for example, Anna-Melissa, which I think it's great to see the Independent Spirit Awards sort of knowing what they're there for. I mean, in a way that I think the BAFTAs have forgotten.
Yeah.
In a way, 45 years being snubbed this year, which is a great British film, and I think maybe the more specific awards ceremonies need to remember what they're there for, perhaps?
Perhaps. I think the BAFTAs are an indication of the film industry as a whole a little bit, though, in that it's becoming more and more international. When you have Disney coming over here making massive productions like Star Wars or the Wonder Woman film, I wonder if the two industries then start to merge even more, and our idea of what a great British film is changes. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that in particular. I mean, the BIFFAs were a bit more disappointing in that they're supposed to be the true blue independent spirit of British filmmaking, and then the most independent or weird or indie they could get was Ex Machina, which was basically a kind of poppy action film as well. A not bad film at all, but not particularly interesting in what it was saying about the world we live in, I don't think. Independent Spirit Awards, yeah, they're great. I mean, we have to be careful not to overemphasize their impact, right? Like, they are a very small award ceremony voted for by people who have an independent sensibility, obviously, and they're not going to, you know, change the world or make these films particularly gather more receipts at DVD sales or streaming, perhaps. But it's nice to see people get a kind of at least a token mention, I guess.
Now, Henry, it's Friday tomorrow.
Yay.
Films are being released left, right and center, but what's your pick for the weekend?
What's been released on the left and the right and the center? Spotlight's really good. I like Spotlight a lot. I've watched it twice now. The first time you watch it, I agree with you, Ben, it's a little bit underwhelming, a little bit too much of a procedural and quite slow, and there doesn't seem to be much going on. The second time you watch it, bar Mark Ruffalo's loopy, zany performance, which nobody needs and he shouldn't be nominated for, the second time you watch it, it's a really tense thriller, and it puts out a very complicated story, i.e. the paedophile priests in Boston that were covered by the Spotlight journalism team, in a way that explains every angle of the story, brings in a human element with some of the survivors, and makes the journalists seem heroic, but not to the place where they are like more important than the people who are at the centre of the story.
Yeah, I think I rewatched it recently. The first time I saw it at Telluride, I was a little bit underwhelmed. But I think the second time, I still think it's a solid 3-star movie, but I think I admired the direction a little bit more the second time.
Yeah.
I think you get a really good sense of place of the Boston Globe and what it's like to be a journalist. And I think I appreciated like the colours and the locations more this time. But I still think that I still think it's to kind of use Tarantino's Selma shade last year, it should win an Emmy. But I think it's quite a TV movie still. But
it may be a bit of a TV movie. Yeah. I also have to put a little bit of a shout out for We Come As Friends, which is a new documentary by Herbert Salpaul, which is about colonialism in South Sudan and how basically Western investors are still going over there and trying to exploit it for all it's worth. Chinese investors and oil workers are now doing the same. And then the conflict that the people of South Sudan are starting to feel, in that when all the profits are there and there is a chance for development, how do you take that money without becoming compromised or without losing the land or who you are as a people? It's really, I mean, that sounds so boring, but it's really brilliant. It's great. It's weird. It's strange. And it's almost funny and depressing at the same time.
But do you see De Niro naked in it?
No. So that's Dirty
Grandpa. Dirty Grandpa, also, yeah, if you want that, of course, too. Now you can check out theguardian.com/film for the latest film news, features and reviews. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Today you can check out this week's Guardian Film Show for a closer look at the week's new releases and watch an exclusive clip from A Bigger Splash. See you on Monday, and I'm going to leave you with a heartwarming quote from Revolutionary Road, a film that Leo was perfectly happy for you all to see. You're not worth the trouble it would take to hit you. You're not worth the powder it would take to blow you up. You're an empty, empty, hollow shell of a woman. Goodbye.
You said that to me the other day, didn't you?
Yeah. That's a lovely film, isn't it?
For more great downloads, go to theguardian.com/audio.